All right, the Right Side Way monologue. Let me just tell you, as a young paratrooper, I made my first jump off the ramp at the back of the aircraft one time. That's the back. The actual ramp goes down. Instead of jumping out the side doors, you jump out the ramp. So I made my first jump out the ramp. The jump master that day was a Green Beret Master Sergeant who did all the usual air safety checks. He gave all the right commands. And I was expecting him to tell me when to jump and then, you know, follow me out, because that's the way it usually worked. He didn't do that. He didn't at all. He stood up. He looked at all of us waiting jumpers, and when the green light went on, he reared up, he pointed at us, and he yelled, "Follow me!" And off the ramp he went into the abyss, and I tell you what, we would have followed him anywhere at that particular moment. There is nothing natural, by the way, about jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. Nothing. Nerves are on the edge, sounds of the aircraft are deafening, you can see the ground passing under you at over 1,000 feet. True to form, the military makes it more painful than it ever had to be. And that jump master, that particular day, Master Sergeant Chastain was his name, that jump master took a hold of that situation, gave us the inspiration we needed for the moment. He said, "Jump," we said, "How high?" Listen, people will follow when a leader like my jump master stands up and says, "I see the way forward and I'm willing to go first. I'm willing to risk it. Follow me." Good folks are looking for inspiration and leadership. How you carry yourself means something. How you present yourself to those who you are asking to follow you is sometimes just as important as the skills required to do the job itself. I mean, anybody can be appointed or elected to a leadership position, right? What does that really mean? So you got the job because somebody voted for you? But do you really know anything about leadership? Can you encourage or exhort or enable people to do things they might not have otherwise done? Like I said, anybody can luck into a position that by default makes them the leader. But to be an effective leader, one that people want to follow, that's a whole different animal. You generally need two things, or several things, actually. You need an actual plan. You need the courage of your convictions. And you combine those two things with a command presence, and you get a leader. So let me ask you this question. Did Joe Biden present himself to the world at last week's debate as somebody who inspires us to do great things? Did you see him in that moment on Thursday night and say to yourself, "Wow, there's a leader I can follow"? I mean, he has the office, right? I respect the office, but that was by election, not because he had a lifetime of proven leadership. We are watching a Biden presidency right now that is lacking. There seems to be no plan. We don't see true courage that comes from strong convictions. It's the absence of both of those things, the plan and the courageous conviction. And, oh, by the way, he has absolutely no command presence. It leaves the Biden White House seeming hollow and feckless, the kind of leader that people follow because of his rank and not because he inspires us to follow him. Those experienced with leadership, they know the old adage that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. There will always be times when leaders have to adapt or pivot to new opportunities or seize momentum. But whenever possible, a leader must have a plan going into it. But none of those plans and policies matter. None of the rhetoric matters. None of the budgets and agenda items matter if the leader at the helm doesn't go into each and every one of them with the courage to back up his convictions and fight to make them happen. We don't need or have time for public officials who look for the most expedient route or the easy road or the soft landing. And with regards to planning, true planning provides an orderly and a cogent means of helping guide a leader's thoughts with the ultimate purpose clearly in mind. In the absence of a plan, missions can go awry. So let's take a look at the Biden plans for just one segment of his job. I mean, we could look at education, energy, economy, military strength. I'll be honest with you, I don't see a plan for any of them. But let me just dissect one about foreign policy. In the past, we've had presidents who elaborated on their foreign policy doctrine. We've had the Monroe Doctrine, the Bush Doctrine, the clearly defined Reagan foreign policy of peace through strength. There was the Trump philosophy of America first. But can anybody even articulate a foreign policy position or a strategy or a doctrine to which the Biden administration can attach its name? Is there a Biden plan? Is there a Biden philosophy? If so, what is it? So no, I don't see any true planning of any kind. No plan at all coming out of the Biden administration. But even if we did, what measure of conviction does he carry? Do we see any strength of character? Do we see the man who will stand in the gap for us? Is there a courage that comes from years of being in the arena? I submit to you that Joe Biden will say whatever is needed, cater to the whims of the polls, measure the winds of culture, and be the guy who is needed just for that particular moment. Y'all, he has had 5 decades, 50 years, of enjoying the rhetoric without responsibility in D.C. 50 years going to the podium, saying whatever he wanted to say, and then walking away without having to own any of it. He has never led an organization, ever. No business, no troops in battle, nothing. So it's no wonder he has no plan. People who sway in the breeze and go with the flow, they don't exhibit courage of convictions. Last year, I attended a dinner with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis delivering the keynote address. The most important thing he said all evening was a statement that sounded like a national statesman. He said, quote, "You can be right on all the policies, but if you don't have the courage of your convictions, you will never beat the left." He said it unequivocally. Y'all, Reagan also had convictions and the strength to do something with them no matter what the naysayers threw at him. One of the defining features of Ronald Reagan was his moral courage. I read one account about Reagan's legacy that said this about him. It's a long quote, but bear with me. He said, quote, "It takes tremendous moral courage to resist the overwhelming tide of opinion and so-called expert wisdoms and to say and to do exactly the opposite. It could not have been pleasant for Reagan to be denounced as an ignorant cowboy or an extremist or a warmonger or a fascist or even worse by people who thought themselves to be intellectually superior to him. During Reagan's presidency, America enjoyed its longest period of sustained economic growth in the 20th century. By the time he left office, the faith of Americans in the greatness of their country had been restored. He ended his days as the single most important American conservative figure of the last century. Not bad for an ignorant cowboy." It's a great quote, but it's so true. Reagan knew how to stand. He knew how to lead. He knew how to provide presence to the moment. There's something magical that takes place when a leader is willing to get out front, take his or her position, and stake out their ground unequivocally. Naysayers will show up, but so will people who are dying for someone to actually lead them. A good leader. A leader who inspires others. A leader who people actually want to follow. They will bring a plan and the courage of their convictions to bear, and they will provide presence to the moment. Not everybody has the gift of leadership, but those who do, they have an obligation to use that gift effectively. They have a duty to refuse to waffle, to decline to look for the easy way out. People respond to a leader who turns his face to the wind, straightens his back up, and says with the courage of his convictions, "I see a better way. I have a plan. Follow me." So think about the presidency. Think about the current presidency. And ask yourself, would I follow him anywhere? And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, there's a whole lot that came out of that debate the other night, but it's all things that we've been seeing, right? I mean, most of what I said right there, we could have said a year ago, 2 years ago, 2020. But the reality is, came out Thursday night and the emperor had no clothes. He was naked and everybody knew it, and they couldn't do a thing about it. No courage of his convictions, no plan, and certainly no command presence. I wouldn't want to follow him. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.